Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters.
Well, this is episode 63. Very excited, moving up in numbers, and I'm back in our design studio after a truly fantastic week in San Diego at the 2018 Presentation Summit. I am joined this episode, or for this intro, by co-founder and spouse Lori Collar to introduce this podcast.
Well, hey there. I feel really honored. I also really enjoyed our time at the Presentation Summit. It was amazing.
It definitely was. So I'm working on the audio edit of our big group conversation, and we, Lori and I, have been commenting on how many great people we talked with, how much we love San Diego. As a side note, we live in San Diego. And what else?
I would just say as a retake of the summit, it was just an amazing time, not only learning, they had some great sessions, a lot of topics. I like the fact that they took some topics and did a big deep dive. But I really enjoyed connected with more new people this time than I think I ever have. And I have to say a shout out to Jicky, amazing, fun guy, but he introduced me to dark chocolate covered macadamia nuts. And I think it's a new favorite.
I think I've got to take you to Hawaii to get more is what I heard.
Okay, I think we got that recorded, so now I have it. So we had a great time and with lots of people who attended, and I know that you recorded several great conversations for future podcasts.
Yeah, we had our portable recording studio set up and available in our suite. Lori was very kind. She let me take over the big table that was in there and just maintain it for the entire duration of our stay. And we had a few other conversations from the summit that will be future podcast episodes.
Yep. Not to be missed for sure. So I know you, Nolan, and Sandy typically cover what's happening in design studios and in the presentation industry. So anything for this week?
Well, for the design studio, as you're aware, you and I had, well, last week we had a very busy week at the summit, not only being at the summit, presenting sessions at the summit, but we were both reviewing design projects from our team. And I believe you were contacted by one, two more potential new clients during the week.
Yep, that was a nice little surprise. And yes, I can confirm sleep was at a minimum. But the client that reached out was a new division from an existing corporate client. So that's always nice. And then we did have a brand new client that we're working with. I actually just had a final conference call this afternoon, and looks like we are going to be starting a new PowerPoint document project.
Which is obviously always good stuff. And again, PowerPoint documents, using PowerPoint for everything but presenting. So in PowerPoint news, I guess we'll just kind of make it simple and concise, say there have been a lot of Microsoft updates, and some of the things we heard from the folks from Microsoft, now they're all the PowerPoint related, but there is a lot of new stuff coming out at a very rapid pace. In my opinion, some of these updates have been good. Some have been a bit annoying, I would say, and some have been truly disruptive to work.
Absolutely. I can give a great example. One of our designers got caught in the middle of one this week, actually. She showed up at the client venue, set up the show computers for rehearsal, only to discover that both said the Microsoft Office 365 subscription had expired.
Oh man, it was a disaster.
Yep. Our IT manager, though, she had just finished a full pre-show update to both computers just the day before. So I know everything was working great. I think from what I understand, the real issue was that there was no way to fix the subscription problem without internet access. And this wasn't set up at the meeting space yet. So I will say we have amazing talent on our team and everything did work out. But that mysterious Microsoft update and logging out of accounts was definitely not fun or helpful.
So you may not know this one, Lori, because you were at the home office all day and I was at the design studio, but I can vouch for the issue that was encountered because today, while I was updating another show computer, so totally separate from the one that was out on show site up in LA, I had the same issue. I turned it on and it was logged out of Office 365. So basically I opened PowerPoint and I got a thing that says your subscription to Office 365 has, what was the word it used? It has expired. Now, we have an enterprise subscription to Office 365 for all of our show computers, and it is absolutely active. So it is definitely something Microsoft's doing. Fortunately for me, I didn't have a client and a full AV team looking over my shoulder trying to figure out why my computers weren't functional. So I was just upset where, well,
good point.
Things at the show were a little more stressful.
But is there something we could do to be aware of that or stop it before it happens?
Well, according to Microsoft, you just need to have an all the time on internet connection so it can phone home even when it's not available. It's a frustration. And there's a couple other updates from for PowerPoint that aren't really my favorites right now, but we'll save those next time Nolan, Sandy, and I talk. We'll go through them. But what I will say is from the presentation summit, one of the talks I was doing was on integrating 3D models into presentations, treating them as another image format that we can now leverage. So not 3D models to be 3D models, but hey, this 3D model can give us a lot of design options. Literally the day before the talk at the summit, I was fortunate to be talking with one of the Microsoft developers that was there attending with us. And he is leading a lot of the 3D model features. And I learned that they had just released to the, I'll just say the super beta group, which I don't have on the computer I had with me, the ability for PowerPoint to recognize and use motion scenes if they're built into a 3D model. This is a really huge animation thing. I'm very, very excited about it. It's another way to integrate motion into a presentation. And, you know, we'll cover more on that in a future podcast, but it was really funny. A talk, and less than 24 hours before I talk, I hear that a whole new feature is being released, and it was very exciting, and I couldn't actually demo it because it wasn't on my build, but there are good things happening.
Kudos to the Microsoft team. They were, I think, at every single session, totally participating, taking notes, interacting with speakers, with attendees. It was fantastic.
It really was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I am very proud to say I get to officially say welcome, everyone. And here is an amazing group of presentation experts just talking presentation.
Hey, Nolan.
Hey, Troy.
Presentation Summit 2018. So we've kind of gathered a small few folks that we could wrangle and
a brain twist. Trust.
Yeah.
PowerPoint brain trust.
We pretty much have a brain trust here. So we're going to let everybody do hellos, maybe quick introduction.
Like, everybody can do like a 5 to 10 second.
Oh, okay.
How That's about good. That? How about okay. we try to do that?
Here, you start.
Okay. Nolan, you know who I am. Okay.
Glenna, you might know who I am.
Julie Terberg. I've been on the podcast a couple times, so you might know who I am.
Hey, Mike Parkinson, Billion Dollar Graphics. Stoked to be here.
Fantastic.
Steve Rinsberg, I've been here before too. Hi.
That's fantastic.
Rick Bretzner, am I here?
You are definitely present.
Oh, okay.
Steffi, just Steffi.
Steffi just did her first presentation summit session. And they were awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I learned two things in that session. Like, that is an option in PowerPoint. It was awesome.
And I'm Heather Ackman. I make computer training videos for LinkedIn.
Stephanie Horn, program manager at Microsoft.
Fantastic. Yes, all the way over there. The extended.
Don't forget the back row. Sorry. Here. This is Lori Collar, and well, you know who I am.
Echo Swinford, I've been here before. Stoked to be here again.
We may have more people just filter in because we just basically gathered everybody up in our room around a table full of stuff, and we invited, and we'll just see what happens. And we are heading to dinner shortly after this, so we do have a little bit of a timeline on this. But I'm going to start only because Steffi brought it up, and I learned something new. I thought it was very awesome. I was like, that, I didn't even know it was an option. It was in a bullet list. I'm not going to go with the smart art part, just the bullet list. Select any line. Help me out here. Alt, shift, up arrow, up, down. It would actually move the whole line up and down. I've never done that. And we do, and I'm like big on keyboard shortcuts, but it was moving the whole line up and down. So I thought that was really cool.
Oh, what was the other one? I was presenting during that session, so I didn't get to see myself. What was the other?
I would have to actually look at my photos because I took photos of the key screens. I actually had her back up, so it was really good. And I was really hoping Steffi was going to show one that would, because in the slide pane, you can actually control brackets, moves the thumbnails up and down. I thought she was going to say it worked in slide sorter view, and it doesn't still. So that was a disappointment.
Sorry.
I learned something today, thanks to Julie, and I was trying to get it solved. I think you were the fourth person I went to today and got it solved. I have a long workflow where I create charts in PowerPoint, but I want to get them into Vector. So I basically want to open them in Illustrator, and then they go into InDesign. But I was having this issue, and this might be on the Mac. I don't know about the PC, but when I would open the PDFs in Illustrator, all the text would get symbolized and outlined and all weird and everything. Julie suggested saving it out as an EMF, which opens perfectly in Illustrator, and all the text is live and in one line. So worth the price of admission.
But Nolan, you need to let everyone know that you have the parallels, so you were able to open PowerPoint in parallels.
Correct,
to save the EMF.
Right, because you can't save as an EMF on the Mac, so yeah.
Interesting. Did not know that. Yep. That's awesome. You know, I got another one. I didn't learn this, but this is a problem we came up with because we're working on a large project. We're using SVG diagrams, and they're very complex medical diagrams. They're very, very cool. But in one round, our Illustrator did some revisions and saved them back out. We've been actually, we have a layer, all the text is outlined, so we don't have to worry about fonts because we're using their corporate font, which is not standard to the presentation. In one proof, the proof that went to legal review, we didn't use the outlined version, and the SVG looked great on my computer because I have the font installed. We handed off the file. We actually exported it to PDF, and the PDF didn't interpret it. But anyways, we had all these font issues. So SVG with real text is still real text. So it's kind of a similar scenario to what you're talking about.
We
fixed it very quickly by just doing it. But that was after it was already in the review cycle. And we had like 30 comments. This font does not, or this word is not right because the R is overlap. Oh, yeah. Default.
So even though a lot of us around the table are, if not all of us, are presenters, I still learned some stuff. Did you guys learn anything in the last couple of days? You better say yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The one thing that, well, you did it. You shared it, Nolan. The Jamie Gerox U-Tools with his adding the ability to format Painter the table style and apply it. I just did a document. I just created everything and I formatted, it was about 200 and some tables. And if I had had that tool, my life would have been so much easier. You blew my mind. And your table design was spectacular.
It's Jamie's tool. It's not
where can they get Jamie's tool?
Utools.co.uk.
We'll obviously include that as a notes this way.
We plug Jamie's stuff before.
I was not at your session. I was another session, but I immediately heard about it because my lovely wife over here.
Yeah, Mike, you took mine. Thank you.
Sorry.
Mine, but that was great.
No, she came up and said, do we have Utools? Like, yeah, it's installed on your computer. We have it on all of our stuff now. Well, why don't I have this? I mean, it was like an attack mode after you demonstrated it, and we don't have the latest version.
Do you want to get to an ethical question, Mike? So next time you have to do that, and suddenly you don't have to do it by hand, and you do it click, 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 you're still going to charge the client the hours?
It's time and materials. It is what it is.
Okay.
Yep.
Hey, Steve, speaking of that one, so your tools basically save countless hours, and they make things that don't work work, in my opinion. So have you had feedback from your clients? Like, I got this all done in like now 5 minutes instead of 5 hours, which is a very realistic thing. What kind of feedback do you get from clients? Like, this is phenomenal, but I'm still charging my client.
No, because usually they're the end users, but I do get that kind of feedback with some of the stuff. I mean, you know, Julie, she loves Thor. Yeah, that's a freebie. I gave it away.
I can't imagine my workflow without having the hammer tool. It just saves so much time.
But probably the biggest time saver that's a little bit more specialized is Merge. Nolan, you're making noises.
No, I think you need to be closer to the mic.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got it. Yeah. It is a Merge tool, which is like it's a Merge printing for PowerPoint. So people use it for making certificates, pulling data out of Excel. And
award shows is what some of us may use it for.
Yeah, exactly. Award shows.
Basis.
That's what it was developed for my wife, who was stuck copying stuff from Excel into 300 slides she had to make. Computers can do stupid stuff like this better than you. Easier.
Just to reiterate, name of the add-in?
Merge. PowerPoint tool, PP tools, Merge.
So we're doing an award show. You always get an Excel list of the winners. Of course, it's very confidential and you know you have to guard it with your life. But then you have to design the 80 slides. And Merge makes it easy to take that Excel list and just dump it into your preset template. Use it I've used it for years, literally.
And how long does it take to do this?
Well, see, because I'm on a show site, all of the show site stuff is day rate billable. So it doesn't matter if it takes me 5 minutes or if it takes me 2 hours, they're still going to pay me the same amount. So,
well, there's that, but I does mean, make how much time does it save?
Oh, usually it's the factor of I can actually accomplish it and make it look good, and or I can't, because it's instantaneous once it's set up. Yeah. Instantaneous. Yeah, it's a cool thing. I was wondering if you'd had like cool stories, like clients saying.
Well, we get all kind of weird uses. I get some people, well, I like it, but can it do this? And that's where I get the ideas to improve the product. But also, I mean, people making, there's one guy who does an online auction catalog with it. Just all kinds of crazy stuff. Realtors use it.
That's bizarre. Oh, okay. I could see that. Interesting. Rick, what did you learn at the conference?
I saved myself today.
Oh?
Yeah, I'm prepping my slides for Pachacata tomorrow. So I'd gotten decks from other people. And one of the things I do is I don't ever incorporate those slides in my own deck because I've been burned by corrupt slides before. So I always link to them. And I ran into a deck where when I got to slide 19, it would just exit slideshow. Bang, you're in the editor, you know. And I'm thinking, is this another Mac bug? Because I was running on the Mac, brought over to Windows, bang, same thing. So
it's a new add-in from Steve.
So it's called You're Done.
This is Pachacuta short.
So I went back, and the last feature I did when I was on the PowerPoint team was a feature called Save as Picture Presentation.
Yes, yes.
And basically what it does is it takes the slides and it creates a new presentation with just the images of the slides. So nobody can edit it. Nobody can reuse your slides other than as they are. So it extracted the visuals, and luckily there were no builds or anything because it's Pachacuta. And it worked. So
I used animation when I did Pachacuta.
Well, yeah, I don't forbid it, but this was a new person
who had the guidelines.
Yeah.
So, Rick, it was you that screwed me out of my sales on an add-in I did to do that?
Possibly. Yeah.
Quite possibly. Didn't quite catch it, the add-in actually saves a folder of all images, puts them all back into a presentation, maintains the transitions, doesn't it?
Yeah. Save as picture presentation saves probably a best case resolution for any file that you're going to project. And it maintains not only the transitions, but also notes in the notes pane as well. So everything moves over. All that happens is your content turns into a picture.
Yeah. So it's the same as save as JPEG, PNG, or whatever, but instead it actually rebuilds the show for you automatically.
But you get you keep your show notes.
Yeah. Sure. It's very cool.
And your transitions.
Steffi, outside the fact that you just gave two phenomenal talks today of teaching people stuff, what did you learn?
Actually, you blew my mind. My mind, Rick. My mind. It's the wine. It's crickets in Troy's presentation. No, what blew my mind was using a combo of morph. Geez, Steve. Morph and cropping images together to frame, zoom in on that one picture that you had, that grid of pictures, and then it maintains the resolution as it zooms in.
That's amazing.
Blew my mind.
And then you can recrop it just by moving around inside that placeholder.
That was cool.
What about on the back table there?
I learned that I could not remember how to use the ruler without a touch screen.
Oh, yeah.
So on the drawing tab, if you pop that ruler up, you can use your scroll wheel on your mouse.
Didn't that happen to you too, Nolan?
The ruler? No, there's a ruler in PowerPoint.
The little elementary school one.
I was trying to show someone how to use the highlighter, but they wanted to keep it straight. And so it was like audience participation. Somebody said, call up the ruler. So I called up the ruler, and it was at a 45-degree angle. And I'm like, oh, hell, now what? And then somebody, probably from Microsoft, said, use your scroll wheel. Oh, yeah, thank you.
Nice.
So it was total
Those audience. People can save you. Okay, so wait. So two things. One, I use an add-in. The best... I think it's Tools 2, but they have a make line straight and make, you know, at either
those
axis.
Those are so good.
Yes, it is like the most phenomenal add-in.
I did not think to mention that during my session.
Does that work with highlighter? In the draw tab?
No, because that's not necessarily a line.
It's not, but it's Ink Tools. Yeah. And I want to know if that works.
That would be very, I don't use those much.
But the ruler works with Ink Tools.
Yes, exactly.
Stephanie's staying quiet right now. She gets me.
She's taking mental notes.
She knows. Stephanie, what did you learn about PowerPoint today?
For me, I was impressed by all all the things done in PowerPoint and the variety, like Steffi, I thought the morph demos and throughout the sessions and Troy's dot example. So he had one where there were dots showing data and movement across slides and then like moving out of the way. So it was very interesting to see the breadth of power.
Did you find it exciting when the audience actually told me how I could have saved like 20 minutes of my life?
Oh, I wasn't going to mention that, but yes, the getting all the dots from one side to the other, because they were in sort of a growing pattern and they had to go in a decreasing pattern. And the idea that you could group them all, flip them, ungroup them, flip them individually, and then they would all sort of cross across the page in a nice orderly fashion.
It's one of my better moments where I've designed this whole amazing slide. It's a real slide for a client. And I use the align tool and I explained this could take a lot of time. At which point the audience, not one, but many people chimed in with, couldn't you do this? And I still couldn't get it. So I was like, I don't get it. So I'm on stage. So we did it. Yeah, it was so see, I learned at my own session.
That was amazing. Wait,
I have to say it's really hard when you're on the spot, like the ruler. I do know how to use the ruler. But when you're on the spot like that and you weren't necessarily prepared to demo whatever everybody's shouting at you, cut yourself some slack. It happens to all of us.
I'm talking to you, Echo. We are on the spot all the time because we're at a show site with a client over our shoulder and they're like, I go on in 6 minutes. Can you get this done? So
yeah,
it's the same type of pressure, only this time it was my peers and I felt actually worse because I couldn't yell back at them.
It's harder. harder with your peers. I think,
I was presenting at the same time as your morph showcase.
Yeah, I totally
and
to
so
see your
I'm
session.
Hoping that whoever recorded your session, I will be getting a hold of that video.
Did you vote for your session?
I voted for yours for a repeat
so I could see yours.
Yep.
I haven't voted at all. I haven't
either. Yeah, vote. Vote. And yes, I was blown away. And this is going to sound funny, Stephanie. Did you, when you know Morph very well because you work at Microsoft, did you know that...
She works on Morph at Microsoft.
Exactly. did you think about the use case of grouping it? Because in animations, you can't group and ungroup and maintain the animation. Did you think of that when you did Morph?
So I didn't specifically build Morph, but it has been used, I would say, for far more than originally intended, and especially when you add 3D. I saw it a lot today where different morph was being used for 3D, and that was also very interesting to see how you can take many, many models and make a kaleidoscope.
I think you should pass along to the team that everyone is really, really ecstatic with it. I've been using it over the last couple weeks for my clients on a couple different projects. It's so easy, so thank you.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's fun to use too, actually, right?
I know.
As Troy said, you never quite know what the results.
Some of the effects, you don't have control over it. Stephanie, could you actually explain the other announcement that came out? I was very excited. I did a talk today on 3D models. Yesterday, I got to meet, I'll just say, one of your colleagues who's on the 3D team. I'm not sure your hierarchy, but I'll just say colleague. And he explained to me that a feature that I've been waiting for was actually like here. If I had the super advanced beta, which I don't do on my production computer, I do the quicker beta. So can you explain what animations for 3D models are? Because I'm so excited about this.
I'm glad you're excited. So there are, I should say, already in the product for users of O365 PowerPoint animations like turntable, swing, jump, and turn. And those work very well in many circumstances, especially when you've got a model that you want to showcase or turn. But one of the pieces of feedback we got was for some objects, especially living things like humans, like it doesn't necessarily work to have a model that gets turntabled. It looks somewhat artificial. And then there are also companies that have models that already have animation programmed into the model. So they can rig a model and they can animate the model themselves. So the comparison would be you have a picture or you have a GIF, and the GIF is like a picture that plays itself. So for models, we had this need where there are embedded models and we didn't support them. So just right now we're rolling out support for 3D models with embedded animation. So this allows you to insert one of those models. We also have somewhere between 20 and 40 that came out that Microsoft produced as a starter set. You can insert those in. they play right away. There's some fun ones, like there's a dog that blows a bubble and he floats away to more serious ones. Like there's a nice drone example where you can show the drone being deconstructed. I was looking at that. That's pretty cool with the four different propellers.
So yeah, and a 3D model animation is basically it should be built as a seamless loop. So you get the model, you can actually have it a motion path across a slide while it's using the 3D model animation. Think of it as a small video, and you can create these more complex elements. You can do it across slides as well, because if it's an animation on a 3D, it's a 3D model scene animation, it will continue through a morph transition, correct?
Currently, it doesn't. Currently they're best used with PowerPoint animations within a slide. Mm-hmm. There is work still to be done to get the morph hookup because there's sort of an interesting transition. I heard today a couple of people saying they want to go from, there are different scenes as well,
yes,
in embedded animations. So you could have it programmed to do a number of different things. And each of those has a unique starting point. So I also got the feedback that if slide one has scene one and slide two has scene two, wouldn't it be nice to somehow morph between the two? And unfortunately, that's the model. The model, we don't know much about the model. We just asked the model to play. So PowerPoint just knows that it will do a play sequence, but doesn't do that type of morph either. But it's great within a slide with animations.
It's actually one of those things, you know, the library of 3D models is getting greater all the time. Hopefully we'll soon have some documentation so 3D modelers know the parameters to build for Microsoft compatible 3D models. But I've been calling 3D models, and we use them a fair amount as kind of a version one feature. With the announcement of that, I've been calling it as of about 2 hours ago, a version two, because that is a huge step in improvement. I'm very excited about it personally.
So one of the things I learned, this is Julie, one of the things I learned was to Troy's point, he was giving this beautiful demo on 3D. Using 3D models, not as necessarily an animated model, but as a design element. Troy, you listed a whole bunch of sites to get 3D models as design elements.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you guys rely on, or which one do you find has the best models?
To be honest, to make them compatible with Office, it's really Office Remix, and I don't think they have the highest quality across the board.
No. Okay.
But that's the only one you can guarantee it, because you can download and you can find amazing things. Turbo Squid, free 3D,
okay.
3D Warehouse. There's plenty of them out there. I'll put them in the show notes.
I did go to Turbo Squid, but I haven't tried the other ones.
Yeah.
You're saying that.
But, you know, and most of them are purchased, and you can't say, hey, I downloaded this free one and it works, so now I'm going to buy this other one, because they're all up to the modeler and how they export it. So there's a lot of parameters within that.
Okay, but you found a lot of blank, the ones with the skin strip.
Yeah, a lot of them, the textures don't overlap. Right. That's a pretty common issue.
I feel like it's kind of like stock photos and free sites for photos. They don't have a lot of business appropriate. I kind of feel like it's the same thing. You have to pay for it if you need something specific.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in Adobe Stock, has added recently a fairly large library of 3D models. None of them work in Office yet. So now they're actually enough of a model. You can pull them in I've actually used SketchUp, pull them in, re-export them out, and I've made them work there. But there's a lot of work involved there besides download and use.
It's still early.
Yes, yes. But it's an evolving technology. I think a lot of things. I think the whole presentation world is continuously evolving.
Stephanie, do you see a partnership with some of these 3D stock sites with Microsoft? Perhaps more support for Microsoft?
I think there's two questions there, and I think both are true in terms of to get to consistent 3D model formats that can be used in a number of different locations. There are a number of companies in the industry that have to partner to make that work. So we are looking at how do we standardize an industry that has many different formats, where in the past each app could use a proprietary format and the people in would use it in that app, but it wouldn't travel anywhere else. So now we're getting to the point where models now want to be presented in Office or communicated on the web, and you need ways to move models more fluidly. We are looking at partnerships to bring an alignment.
Yeah. There's definitely one thing that I was reminded of, and I needed that kick in the pants from Glenna Shaw, who happens to be with us, and Tom Howe from Synapse Creative. What Glenna did during her presentation, not meaning to trick people, was she started a quote-unquote PowerPoint presentation and then revealed about 4 slides or 8 slides into it that she was actually using Excel. And it reminded me of to change the paradigm, the paradigm. That, changing the paradigm. Awesome. Is that we don't have to be constricted to just use one office product. We can integrate the entire office suite. The other thing was that Tom did just the opposite. He created a beautifully developed, rendered, desktop published document book that was created completely in PowerPoint. So both had a very, it's saying that you can go at different angles from the suite.
HQ and just. Let
should we
know
should we talk is. About that the conversation last night that
we don't have 2 hours?
Oh, PowerPoint doesn't have the resources to invest in desktop publishing expansion tools to that. And there's an I understand there's a profit to gain, and that's not the focus. But it's not that they're not needed or would not be utilized by massive amounts of people and companies.
Right, all of our clients keep asking us
PowerPoint
we
documents.
We need PowerPoint template document templates.
So
it's been the case because PowerPoint just is this surface that you can put something and count on it being there, and it's easy to put it there, and it behaves in a predictable manner. More than Word, more than even Publisher does, mm-hmm. where things can get skittish. Well, and it's been, I mean, since the 90s, that's been a request.
So but it's why not? Yeah, anyway.
Well, the fact that Publisher really is kind of now relegated to underneath Word, is
what
an
about,
interesting reveal.
What about if I put something up on User Voice, and you put a link to it, and people can go and put their 2 cents and vote on that desktop publishing app?
Actually, I like that.
Everybody talk about, there's somebody besides me talk about User Voice, because that came through as a definite focus right now for Microsoft.
So the way to get feedback to Microsoft is send a frown, send a smile. Those are in your interface, or go to uservoice.com and either vote on a suggestion or put your own suggestion in.
Actually, can I expand on that? Because we sure. say these things in a way that normal people aren't going to understand it. Send a frown on your interface in the ribbon. There will be, in various places, depending on what you're doing, there will be emoji that are smile and frown. And if you click those, you get into a feedback interface that will let you save what you're responding to. And Microsoft is capturing that and looking at it. And they're not capturing your document. They're not capturing any of your data. They're just getting your feedback on what you're doing right then.
The send a frown, the thing that was important that I asked to clarify, that survives a restart or a crash, a restart of the full system, a crash of PowerPoint. The data is actually still there and send it. I actually haven't sent them. Like, you know, I crashed. There's nothing there. It actually does survive and get sent. So I thought that was an important note.
And
that's obviously
days
not.
Days later as well. As
hold on. Go.
And just a little note that we keep saying send a frown, but it shows up in the interface as a smiley face. So
good point.
In the upper right-hand corner of the interface, it's a smiley face. And a lot of people who don't use Office very frequently, if they're not very familiar with the lingo, it's a smiley face. And again, if you were old school Office and were familiar with beta testing, that's what showed up if you were beta testing Office products. Sure. So if you see that and it's just like, ooh, it's like a new, it's not temporary. It's like almost a permanent feature of the full versions of Office now. So that's there. That's where you send them feedback, whether you're happy or sad about something. So click the smiley face and tell them why you're not happy.
And then User's Voice. Anybody have anything to say about User's Voice? Because it's a web.
Make it clear that it's powerpoint.uservoice.com in your browser. And that takes you to a site. That'll be the PowerPoint section of the site. You can first, you should search for similar questions to the one you want to suggest. People can vote on suggestions that you've made. You can vote on suggestions that other people have made, or you can enter new suggestions. And the PowerPoint developers keep a very close eye on this. We're told this over and over again. This is the way to make suggestions, feature improvements, and that type of thing that they do, they look at. And if people vote enough on it, enough people vote on it, it kind of gets bumped to the top of the queue if it's a possible thing to do.
Limited number of votes you can express.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I can go back again.
It's like Bitcoin. There's as much as you can find now.
I was broke on user votes.
Who knew? Yeah.
I give it up.
We're going to end the podcast while we all go vote on our favorite features right now.
That's right.
Many times.
I think that's how embed fonts on the Mac got... It happened. Yes. It was just it was overwhelming.
Yeah, to reiterate everything you've said, that both send a smile, which sends frowns as well, is something that comes in. It's divided amongst the PM teams, and every piece of feedback is looked at. Crashes are especially useful because we do get to see the sort of technical state of your machine. We don't get to see any private information. That doesn't come across. Nothing personal comes across. But we are able to see sort of the state, especially if you write in, like, the last thing I did before I crashed was X, that's very useful in debugging. And if you're willing to leave an email address, sometimes we will reach out and say, so tell me exactly what happened. And as well, user voice is something we go through and we look at and we see which things have the top voice.
I do send smiles. When I saw transparency show up on my picture tab, I immediately sent a smile and went, oh, thank you.
I don't have it yet. I'm feeling very left out.
Talk about this.
For those of you on the Mac version of PowerPoint, this isn't going to seem like news because you've had picture transparency forever.
We do now?
But on the Windows side, on the Windows side, in Office,
I'm so happy.
I think it's still in the insiders in the insiders fast version of Office 365. So it's coming eventually. You now have picture transparency, which is going to save so much time.
It's yes.
In the design world of PowerPoint.
So I did a little happy
thanks,
dance.
Microsoft.
Yeah, so that's another one where we got lots of feedback about adding that feature in the workarounds that had to be done to make it work. So that hit the top of our backlog, and now it's in.
There's another small sort of subtle change that I learned about, but it comes with a funny story. The B key, right? That's the, while you're in slideshow mode, you hit the B key and it blacks out the screen, which is a cool little thing. And then to unblack it out, to go back to your slide, you'd hit the B again. But apparently, I'm not exactly sure when it happened, now you can hit any other key to exit out of black. And the reason is, supposedly, there was somebody big giving a presentation, and they didn't know about this, but they accidentally hit the B key and then started hitting every other key except B to try to get out of it and couldn't. So Microsoft said, all right, let's just make it any key to get out of it.
That's the protect you from yourself
feature. Exactly, right.
That's awesome. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I learned.
Wait, what if you hit the W key? Because it's going to go white.
Probably
so any other
same.
Key?
Do
you remember the one where you can scroll through the tabs just with the scroll?
Yes.
You know, when you click and you scroll through the tabs. That was from their user design testing.
When just kind of stuck around?
Well, they did all the designs in PowerPoint. So it was unintentional, the scrolling through the tabs. Because he was scrolling through the slides. And the guy said, this is so cool. You can scroll through the tabs. And they're like, wait, we didn't put that in there. Yes.
That's so cool. So we're talking about all these great things we're learning. And I know the original question is, what did you learn? And I have to say, one of the coolest things I learned is we're at the presentation summit. So I've been talking with a lot of the attendees. Most are not speakers, of course, had great conversations. But I got into a great conversation with one of the gals asking me about what we do for notes decks. So if you're in the presentation, the event world, and we're swapping ideas, and some of the solutions that she had were phenomenal. So I'm learning stuff from some of the patrons, which was just fantastic.
Hey, on notes decks, I don't know if you know this, one of our designers IM'd me while I was listening to somebody, which session, I was in a session, and actually it was your session, Nolan, And I get this, hey, we got a problem. I need to figure this out because, you know, I want to get this client end of day. And they sent me a screen capture of their notes page. I'm like, that's not possible. The notes page has to be the same size as the slide. But it wasn't in the screen capture. So I said, okay, send me the file because I happen to have some people from Microsoft right here. I'm going to go find an engineer. So I talked to Jonah, Stephanie, and he's investigating it because somebody made a file that's not actually possible. Because
what do you mean?
So the presentation, it's an XML.
This
mess
has
up.
Been happening more and more. And yes, oh, I just really? Fix it in XML. I see it more and more.
Talk to Jonah, please. So it was a 16x9 presentation, 13.333 by 7.5 is a slide. You open up, you go to notes view. It was a 2-inch wide by 9-inch tall page size.
What?
That is not possible because they're linked.
Wait, but I have a feeling. I have a feeling. This is a gut. I have a feeling that when you start swapping slide size, it affects the note page size. And when you're going, also, I think it's got to do with language or region, because I see odd size note pages in Canada. So it may have to do with your default print settings.
Actually, this one, we designed the corporate template. We know where the master was originated. It originated in our studio. Now it's gone through some iterations. So we're theorizing like somebody opened it and tried to edit in Dropbox, and Dropbox just messed with, you know, the saved it back. Because I've had this happen a few times with Box.
You can fix it.
Dimensions in the XML. And it's a weird, you know, like 2200 or what, you know, it's
twips
got
and twerps and nerps and.
But you can actually edit. You can actually edit those dimensions in the XML.
They're separate from
in the notes
the
XML.
Notes?
Oh, you
know. No, like they measure in twips and twerps and stuff.
I play with
I don't
the XML,
know.
But that's
whatever.
More than
I've
I want
had
to play
alcohol.
With.
What?
No, Echo helped me with that. She helped me with that last year because I came to a new place and I opened up and the notes page was like. It looked like it was 30 feet tall and an inch wide, and I had no idea what heck was going on, and that I had to edit the XML to fix it.
Or I did.
You did. Yes, you did. You did.
Okay, so the solution was fairly easy. We just, because we own the corporate template, we just pasted it all back in, and there were some adjustments, but it was good to go. But anyways, on the Microsoft team, they're investigating it to see what went wrong. So I just happened to have a live problem right here at the summit. And so I called our designer and said, hey, it's official. I've approved it. I've confirmed it with a Microsoft engineer. It's wacky and weird and we can't fix it.
The official word.
Hey, we got about 5 minutes left before we need to head out. Other topics? Hey, it's finally sunny in San Diego, by the way.
Yes.
Sunny in San Diego.
Unlike the morning part where it's been overcast.
Next year's presentation summit is going to be in San Antonio, Texas.
October 6th through 9th.
Now, does that qualify as wet Texas?
You know, we got to ask Todd Dunn. Todd lives there.
Yeah.
That's October 6th through 9th.
Thanks.
Hey, not. Todd, I know you're going to listen to this eventually. Seeing how you live in San Antonio, you're hosting.
Tom Hutchins also.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Tom Hutchins. Wow. Shout out to the Kilt Man.
Yeah, we can't wait to come see you.
Yeah, no excuse for missing next year's summit, Tom.
Can we get Heather what you learned?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Here, slide this over. Hold on.
Great.
And Heather, did you learn?
Well, this is something that I'm dying to play with, actually. Ooh. When I get back. Glenn Miller showed something that I never in a million years thought to do, which is to take a 2D object that you know would create, you know, anything in PowerPoint, like a line, a shape, even a picture, and copy it over to Paint 3D just to get the controls of 3D, cool. And then bring it back into PowerPoint to manipulate as a 3D object.
Brilliant. You're amazing.
Never in a million years. Mad, and he demoed this with like just pictures. And he goes, I don't know why anyone actually would use this. And Tom and I are sitting there going like, we do. Yes.
It's like Flatland.
It is totally Flatland. So I can't wait to get back and just sort of like see how I would play with that. You know, just
now. Wait, was that in his talk?
This was his talk yesterday.
Because today I made a quip. I missed his. I said that his talk yesterday. How did I miss this? No, that was today. That was his animation.
Yeah, this was an animation. But this was yesterday when he said a couple.
Because I made a quip to remind that I like the new 3D animations that are only for 3D. I should almost take photos into a 3D program and save them out as a 3D file format so that I could apply those animations to it.
No, you can totally do that.
But he totally did it.
He totally did it.
Well, it's just amazing because you kind of, he literally says, I don't know why anyone would do this. It's like watching a juggler and you think, that's amazing. It has no practical use in my life, but it's, I love watching it. And, yeah. then all every now and then he invents anti-gravity. And he goes, I can use that.
Glenn, if you don't get the gist of this, we love you. Thank you for experimenting.
Brilliant.
Very long flight really from Australia, cool. And we totally appreciate seeing you in person and seeing this fun stuff. Hey, guys, I think we're all going out to dinner, so thank you very much. This thing's going to post, like, today's Tuesday, so it's going to post in 1 week. It'll be up on Tuesday. That just happens to be the cycle for the podcast. So, Nolan, we'll have something... We'll have Sandy back on the one after that. So, hi, Sandy. By the way, we know you didn't make it.
We miss you.
Before we go,
yes,
Charles Cranford. Oh, Charles. We just got
his. And Tony.
Tony.
Itesh.
Itesh.
We got the word that Charles just left the hospital. He's sleeping right now. He said he has left the hospital.
This is good. So Lori and I are actually happen to be flying to, well, your hometown, and we're hoping to go say hello to Charles. So by the time you hear this, we have hopefully seen you in person. So with that,
Can't wait till next year.
Next year is going to be fun.
Such
everybody,
a great group.
Presentation Summit is well worth the investment to be at if you're in the presentation industry. So there we've plugged the summit, and none of us have a financial stake in it.
Nope.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. Yay!
Thank you so much, everybody. So now we're going to get on a bus to go to Mexican food.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.